Hello, everybody, and welcome to Leveraging Digital Marketing to Build Your Practice. Today is February 24th, 2015, and I am Emily Downward. I'm a Master Certified Coach and a longtime digital marketer. If you have not already downloaded, there's a handout for this call. If you could go to CoachSpot and download the handout, it's called Digital Marketing Strategy Blueprint. And I think it's going to be really helpful to follow along with that. So I'm just going to start with a little bit of my story and my intentions so you have plenty of time to get over there and download this handout. So it's on the call page for this call on CoachSpot. So just to let you know kind of how I got here, why I'm teaching this class, when the internet first came out in the mid-90s, I was working at the Komen Breast Cancer Foundation. I was their 13th employee, and so it was before it got as huge as it is now. And I was the most computer savvy of the employees at the time. So as one of my projects, they told me to learn about the internet and build them a website. So I went to a few seminars and started learning about it, and immediately I felt, wow, this is a powerful way to educate people and empower them with information that can change their lives. And of course, at that time, we were trying to educate people about breast cancer, but I could see the possibilities already. So I was really, really excited to have that get going on the internet and the ground floor, really, because there were only a few websites out there at that time. So we built the first websites for the Komen Foundation, and we won several awards for those sites. But I knew after just maybe a year that we had done it incorrectly, or we could do it in a better way. We had built the sites based on the departments of the foundation. So each department had a main point of navigation. And I could tell by interacting with the audience that was coming through the site that we needed to change it to be audience focused. We had different audiences that were coming. We had people who were just diagnosed with breast cancer. We had researchers looking for funding. We had people who wanted to donate money, et cetera. And I knew we needed to shift things. So the foundation worked as a kind of everyone on the table had to decide before or agree before we would move forward. And that seemed like it was going to take a really, really, really long time. So I left there, and I went to a digital marketing agency. And there I helped build their digital practice for health clients. And I learned more about email marketing, search engine optimization, and driving action through digital properties, so getting people to take different pathways. From there, in 2007, I was recruited up to New York City to lead the digital health team for a global PR agency. And there I learned more about social media and how to leverage it in communications, how to engage audiences, and using it for crisis management. So I have a passion for communicating, whether that's writing, speaking, or teaching, talking to you all today, as well as a passion for connecting with others. And I think the internet can be a great tool to share your story, your expertise, and build your business. So my intentions for the call today are to share my knowledge and experience with the tribe, to provide you with information and helpful action steps to support your business, and to create a fun and beneficial class. The class objectives are to understand what digital marketing is and how it can benefit your business, to create a digital strategy and a consistency for all your online marketing pieces, to understand the differences and purposes for a website or different social media properties like Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, to understand the value of a blog and e-newsletter, and also to conceptualize some basic content for your website if you have not already done so, or you can always redo it as well. So just a reminder, I definitely want interaction, and I'm going to ask you guys in just a few minutes for some feedback. But if you're in a place where you're going to be making a lot of noise, or you've got kids or pets or, I don't know, a leaf blower outside or whatever, if you could mute yourself, that would be great because we are recording this. And definitely, like, jump in if you've got a question, if I'm going too quickly, because I get excited and I start talking very fast. But we do have 90 minutes, so we've got plenty of time, I think, to get through all this content. And hopefully you've all downloaded the handout now from the CoachSpot page. If you haven't yet, go grab that. And now I'd love to hear from you if there's any questions you guys have or topics that you want to make sure that I cover. Please let me know. What have you got? Everybody's just here for fun. They had nothing else to do. No burning questions?
Hi, this is Tess from Florida. And rather than a question, I guess I would just comment that the reason I'm silent is because this is also new to me, and I feel rather overwhelmed. And so I'm just here to listen and learn and hopefully get past feeling so overwhelmed. So I don't even know enough to ask questions yet.
Well,
I'm with her.
I'm so glad.
You're so fast.
Okay, good. So please, like, stop me if I say something or if I don't define something. I've been doing this for so long, sometimes, you know, you become unaware of what you know because it's just like a part of me. So if I go past something and you're like, I have no idea what that was, please stop me and say, help. Okay?
Okay.
Did you guys get the handout? You're good?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else have any questions or topics or...
This is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. Hi. I'm wondering about conversion. So getting people to not only read the content you're putting out there, but also then following up with you, how do you move them from reading to conversion?
Okay. We are going to talk about that. So great. And then when I get... you know, through that, if you have more questions, jump in.
Great.
Thank you.
Hi, it's Bev. Just a quick question. I'm on an iPad. Is it possible to get the handout on the iPad?
It's a PDF, so I think it should be.
Looks like it needs Adobe.
Yeah, it's a PDF document, so it should open in an Adobe Reader, but it also opens up in Preview on a Mac.
Preview. But this is on an iPad. Is that different?
I don't know. I don't have an iPad, but I've got
it's different enough, I think.
Because I've been trying to open it, and it's ignoring me. But I'm on my iPad, so, and I know that a lot of things don't work on iPads, So maybe this is one of them.
Somebody popped up with some. No, somebody had an answer, but I didn't hear what it was.
I think this is Lynn. I think an iPad is just different enough that it might not, unless you can try to download it and then try to view it from there. If not download it, just try to open it, try to view it. That may be your only bet on an iPad.
Yeah, you may be able to open it in a browser window like Safari.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, go through Coach Spot through Safari and try it that way.
Great, thanks.
Okay, any other questions or areas you want to make sure I cover? All right. So if you look at the handout, you'll see at the top of it, I've kind of created a couple different designs or a couple different ways to think about your different digital marketing properties. And just to kind of define it here, marketing is defined as the activity and processes used to communicate and deliver your brand and your offerings for your clients. And digital marketing incorporates websites, email marketing, newsletters, social media, search engine optimization, and online advertising. So it's kind of a huge area. It's basically, for me, it's how will your people find you online and what information do they need to know to make the decision to hire you? Many new coaches, and I was definitely one, feel more legitimate when they can have a website to point people to and put on their business cards. And if you think about it, you only get a few minutes with somebody to introduce yourself and hand them a card. Your website gives you a couple more minutes to explain who you are and what you do. And I think for a lot of us, with starting out, if we're coming into the coaching field, it's having to describe what a coach is and how it is that you work. That's always a question that I get over and over again, even now. So it's helpful to answer all of those on your website as well. And the process of answering those and writing that copy for yourself, actually, I think, for me, helps me then to be prepared to answer those in real life as well. So with the different kind of diagrams that I've created there, what I'm thinking about is, how do you want to view your digital properties, right? You could kind of create a website as the hub, or you could create one of your social media accounts as the hub. And the hub, I mean, like, where do you want to drive people to? And then the second question is, after you drive them there, what do you want them to do once they get there? So you can have, something on Facebook and something on Twitter, and those are driving to your website. Or you could, I've also seen people have a Facebook business page as their main property, and that's where they drive everyone to. So just kind of keep in mind for yourself, where do you want to drive people to ultimately, although you may be engaging in different properties, where's your ultimate destination? And for those of you who are just starting out, you don't have to do all of this at once. Take, turtle steps, absolutely. Like, take one piece that feels doable and start there, and then you can build on it as you go. So when you're starting out, I think the number one thing that you have to start with is your brand. And your brand as a coach may be slightly different than who you are personally. I think you have to answer the questions of, who are you, what do you do, who do you help, and how do you help them? In coach training, when I went through, I think it's still the same, they talked about your who, what. And I'm not going to go into that a lot here, but definitely that's a part of your brand. And then also you have to think about, like, what is the value you offer? So people they don't buy the services for themselves. They buy them for the value that they think they're going to get out of it. So you have to kind of educate people about why they would do that, right? So thinking about how coaching has helped you. For me, I think about, it's given me more peace from the horrible thoughts in my head. It's given me more freedom and the ability to think more creatively because I'm not hamstringed by those thoughts. So some of that is the value, right? So think about, like, your end state, where you want to take people to. And then you also want to look at how you can create kind of a consistent brand across your platform. So I put name on here, and some people may think that's ridiculous because, of course, your name is your name. But I know people, even in our coaching tribe, who have different names. They may have a married name and a maiden name, and they use one here and another one there, or sometimes they use their middle name. So for your business, choose which name you're going to use and use it consistently throughout. Also, you want to choose kind of a consistent look, and that includes your picture. So on my personal Facebook page, I change my profile picture anytime I get a good picture, like every couple months or so maybe. But for my business page, I have a professional headshot that I use, and I use that same picture on my website and on my LinkedIn profile and on my Twitter. So when people go there, they know that they've got the same person, the same business that they're dealing with, because I'm thinking of myself as a business there. Also, if you've got a logo or a tagline, you want to have those consistent across. Your who, what should also be consistent across. And then looking at colors, within each of those different properties, make sure you kind of choose a color and go with it. And all of these, the thing I love about the web is that you can change it. So none of it is set in stone. I used to do print materials for the Komen Foundation, and you had to try to make sure it was perfect and no typos, because once it went to print, it was printed. But with the website, awesome, you can change it. You can change the color if you get tired of it. I would suggest not changing it all the time, but you want to refresh your look, you can do that pretty easily online. So next, you want to think about your target audience. So this is who's your ideal client, right? Who are they? What are their challenges? And what are their pain points? It's really important to speak in their language. So you can do this a couple different ways. You can do some online research. You can go online, like to Google, find some forums where people are discussing this challenge or this issue, talk to people in real life. And another way I do it is because we often coach on one of our Hell and Backs, I look at my old journals and I look at how I talked about different problems I was having and the words and phrases I used. You can also survey people. There's a great free tool called SurveyMonkey, and it's at surveymonkey.com. And you can create a free survey and send that out to people through email or post it to your friends on Facebook, Twitter, just to get some feedback and start getting some of that languaging. That content, the words and phrases that people use, you want to make sure you're using that in your marketing copy because that's what people are going to be searching on. And we're going to talk a little bit more about search engine optimization. But that's the key thing about thinking about how they're talking about things and using their language. How are you guys doing so far?
Great.
Great.
Okay. I'm not going too fast for those who are new to digital marketing.
This is Kes again. May I just ask a question?
Yes.
Thank you. You mentioned, if it seems overwhelming, just start with one ultimate destination. Do you have a sense of whether that would be better as a Facebook business page or a website if you were choosing between the two?
I would say it's kind of up to you, really. I mean, I the next part that I'm going to go into is like where your audience is, so that's part of it as well. But I think this is a turtle step thing. So go with what feels good to your body compass. And
okay.
And it's going to be it's very much a it's kind of like a test and see how it goes, you know. And the digital space is a great place to do that because you can test out things and see how people react. And if they don't react at all, then you go, okay, well, I'll redo it and change something up, push it out there again. So it's a great square three exercise. But yeah, whichever feels like a little bit easier to you or feels a little bit more more doable, I would say start there because you can keep building on either one.
Okay, thank you.
And I'm going to talk more about websites and Facebook, so maybe after the end of this class you might have a better idea of kind of which feels like an easy next step.
Great, thanks.
Sure. All right, so next you want to look at where your audience is. And again, I often start with Google. Now, if you have a different search engine, I kind of use Google as the word to describe all search engines, but I know other people use Bing or Yahoo, so please just interchange whichever search engine you prefer. But they all pretty much work in a similar fashion. So if you start there and look and see where your people are, you may also know, like I know in my friend circles on Facebook, some of them are my ideal clients, some of them aren't. A lot of them are other coaches. So it's, you know, that may be part of your research as you can see where people are going and what they're posting about. You can see, oh, somebody's trying to call me. I'm going to say no. Sorry about that. So you can see where people are going, where they're getting their content. You can, like, where they're sharing content from will give you an idea of where they are online as well. And it's also, as I just mentioned with Tess, it's where you feel comfortable too. So if you're already on Facebook and you understand a little bit about how it works, that might be an easy place to start. A lot of people start their online experience on a search engine, such as Google. So that's why search engine optimization is so very important. And just to give you a definition of search engine optimization, it's the process of maximizing the number of visitors to your site or your property by ensuring that your site appears high on the list of results returned by the search engine. So there's different ways to increase your search engine optimization to make sure that your site is showing up. But it's a little bit of a challenging game as well, because Google is changing their algorithm all the time. So there's not just like a, if you do this, then this will show, this will happen. It's kind of a constant process, and it's a moving target. So I'm going to talk about search engine optimization because I feel like it is very important to do as much as you can to maximize that. But it's not a guaranteed thing at all. And I don't think it should be your end goal. It's more of a nice to have, I think, and an important consideration. So next, I think it's really key to look at what is different about you. How can you differentiate yourself from the competition? And I think it's helpful, and it's probably just natural, that all of us start by looking at other coaches' sites. Right, we look at the master coach sites or teachers, and we look at other people's sites, some of our colleagues who have already gotten a site up, and we see what we like and what we don't like about their sites. But I would caution you not to get caught up in the compare and despair, because each one of you is unique, and each one of us has different people that we are talking to. And some people are going to resonate more with your energy and your words than with your colleagues. So try not to get caught too much in the compare and despair, but look at them as far as examples, and then think about yourself. What makes you unique? And I believe that's your experience, your unique point of view, your story, your personality. So with that, how can you best communicate that? And think about communicating your story and your experience through not only through copy and the words, but you could also use video. I think Jessica Stewart is a great one with video, and she shares all sorts of hilarious and informative videos. You could also use images. A lot of coaches will use different images, not only of themselves, but images of different ways that they see the world. And that is a way to kind of share your point of view as well. Also, when you're looking at competitors, think beyond other coaches. What other sites are competing for the attention, the time, and the money of your ideal clients? Because that can also give you some good ideas of how to position yourself in that market. Okay, so I'm going to pause now, and what questions do you have?
I have a quick question.
Sure.
Hi, this is Amanda. I just set up my website with GoDaddy, and they were talking to me on the phone yesterday about their search engine optimization product, and the guy was trying to steer me toward a different product that was more localized. It was called, like, Find Me or something like that. And what he was saying is, as a coach, not trying to worry about all the search engine stuff on Google, but trying to get found locally. So this would be, you know, if someone were to Google Life Coach Seattle, it's something that would help them. It would pop up like a Yelp page in more of kind of the local, you can rate coach type thing. Do you have any experience with that, or do you have any perspective about if it would be better to target people locally, or what people search for when they search for life coaches?
Yeah, I do not have experience with that particular product, but I definitely have an opinion. So GoDaddy is a very, how should I say it in a good way? They're very good at marketing, right? They're very aggressive in their marketing. So just notice when that guy was talking to you, like, what is your body compass telling you? Like, does it feel good, or does it feel icky, right? So that's just pop, I would say. Then I would say it depends on what you're interested in. My aunt likes to call me a gypsy, and I move all the time, like, across the country. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was not about building a local business. I have clients across the country and across the world. So I don't care where people are and it doesn't matter to me where I am. You know, it's as far as like I am in Seattle now, but I'm not going to say like I'm a Seattle coach because I don't want to limit myself that way. However, other people have built their businesses starting very locally. I think Susan Hyatt did that. My friend Kanisha Baynard did that, where they networked very, very well within their community first. And so that would make more sense to do something more locally focused. And I think Yelp is a great way to do that. Still don't know if you need their product or not. I think you can definitely do your search engine optimization based on local yourself. But that would be a question on where you want, how you want to set up your business.
Okay. Now that's great. Thank you.
Sure. And just, body compass is so important with all of this stuff, you guys. So if there's search engine optimization is another area where it's a nebulous field because there's not just one way to do it. There's never going to be just one way to do it. And a lot of so-called experts have come out of the woodworks seeing that they can make a lot of money off people with this. So just, have your guard up and make sure that you're weighing all of that with your internal compass. Because you can spend a lot of money and not get a lot of results for it. So the other thing you could do is test it, try it for a period of time and see what results you get from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm definitely feeling like I've spent enough money with that.
Yeah, it can be expensive. Somebody else had a question?
Yes, I had a question related to that. If you would rather not start locally because there's a situation locally that's not favorable to your business and would rather take the approach that you've taken of building more of an online community, other than search engine optimization, what other means would you need to tap into and trying to find out where your market hangs out to be able to build that online community?
So I think that's the beauty of the internet is that if you put something out there, it is accessible to people all around the world. I blog pretty regularly, and I love seeing occasionally I'll go in to look at the traffic and notice that people in different countries like Greece, and I don't even have any clients in Greece, but somebody in India was looking at my site. That's exciting to me that our stuff, once we put it out there, it flies. It just goes to different places. So part of it is just getting yourself out there, beginning to publish something. And then I think as far as finding where people are, I would start with Google. So if you think about your target audience, your ideal client, and you think about how they talk about or where they're struggling, and start searching on those terms. When I was in a job that I absolutely hated, I would Google things like burnout. I would Google things like, I hate my job. I would Google things like how to know when to leave your job. I would search for things like this. So notice what comes up what comes up from the search results, where the content is, where any groups or forums where people are discussing it, where the articles are, and that's one way to just start looking at where they're talking about it.
Okay, great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Very much. Thank you.
What other questions at this point do you guys have?
Hi, Emily. I've got one. This is Heather.
Hi, Heather.
I had a business which had a name, Tidal Beat, and it was Drum Circle Facilitation, and I let that go about 3 years ago, and I had a logo and all that, and colors, and I'm wondering now that I'm kind of restarting with the coaching and wanting to incorporate drumming into coaching, would it be wise to continue those same colors and go back to that logo, or would you suggest starting fresh with new colors? It was pretty well local. I didn't have a lot of, national coverage or anything.
What a cool thing. I think that sounds awesome.
That's
really neat. So I guess it's again, I'm going to put it back to you. Like, what does it feel like to you? Does it feel like the concept of Tribal Beat and the colors and the look that you have, is it like, can you expand it in your mind to incorporate coaching?
Yeah, okay.
Because I think it could, but it's really about how you feel about it.
Right.
I had someone talk to me once about, I was talking to somebody about my brand, and he said, if you think about your coaching services, because I was doing personal one-on-one coaching, he was like, think about the other things you want to offer. And he said, kind of create it like as if it's a university. So your brand is the university. And then within the university, you have different colleges, right? You've got the College of Education and the College of Science or College of Medicine. Different colleges are the different offerings that you have or the different areas that you coach in or things like that. And I thought that was a great way to kind of consider it. So I think Tribal Beat sounds awesome, and you could massage the language of, right, it's not just about the tribal beat of the drum, but it's also about the beat of your heart. You could do it where it incorporates it, but if to you it feels like that's just one part of it, then you can create that as one of the colleges and create the overarching brand with something broader.
I'm thinking the overarching brand this time should be my name.
Mm. Yeah.
What do you think about that?
That is actually my next point, that I think it's so important that no matter what you do, make sure that you've got your name as a URL. I don't think it has to be your brand, because I know other people have done some great things with company names as well. But I definitely think it's important to have your name. So, I think that definitely works. But can you see how you could do it either way?
I think it's kind of interesting, too, that the name of the company was Tidal, T-I-D-A-L, because I live by the water. But a lot of people would call it Tribal Beat, just like you did.
That's funny. I'm so sorry. I missed.
Yeah. Tribal. Yeah.
That goes to another point. So if because my very next point was, make sure you, if you can, buy your name as a URL. But if there's a common misspelling or a common like that with, I kept saying Tribal Beat, if you can buy that as well, if people are already making that mistake, and I apologize, then try to buy those. I had a friend who had an Eastern European last name, and I told her to buy her URL of her name, and she said, nobody can spell my name. So buy those common misspellings. I think it's just really important, if you can, to own your own name, because if nothing else, if you get really famous, you don't want somebody else owning that URL and putting stuff out about you.
Yes,
but
right.
it's also really great for just, again, for your search engine optimization and for your brand presence.
And I did heatherpence.ca and also heatherpence.com so that I'd have both of those.
Yeah, because you're in Canada, right? So that would be good to have both.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks very much, Emily.
Sure. So I'm going to get started on the website stuff unless anyone has anything, any questions on the branding or anything that I've covered previous. We're doing great on time, so jump in if you have a question. Nope, you're all really curious about this website stuff. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So number one, buy your name. At the end of the handout, the last page, I've got a bunch of resources, and I've included links for several different properties. By no means are these the only ones. I just wanted to give you some examples. But there are several different sites where you can register a domain name, such as domain.com, GoDaddy, register.com, or Namecheap. I've also included in there a link to an article I found regarding the best domain registrars. So, for those fact finders out there, I thought maybe you'd be interested in that. I'm not a fact finder, so I tried really hard to give you guys extra things in case you are. But think about like what you want to call yourself. When I was starting out with my coaching practice, I'd already owned my name for many years, being in digital marketing. I just didn't use it, but I owned it because I didn't want anyone to take it. And I kept thinking of great names for coaching practices, and every time I would search on them, somebody already had it. So I was like, you know what, screw it. I'm just going to use my name. And I know my last name is a direction, and it's not a positive one. So it's not like the go-to name for coaching, right? But people remember my name after they've heard it. So it's got some good name recognition as far as that, because people can't believe that anyone would have a last name of Downward. So I've got that going for me. And I use it to my advantage. I say, well, with a name like Downward, there's nowhere to go but up. And people usually laugh, and then they remember it. So I think you can start with whatever your name is. But if you've got a great a name for a coaching practice and you want to do that, by all means, get both of them. You can have multiple URLs point to the same destination. So I think Jeanette Ma is one who is excellent at this. If you're familiar with Jeanette Ma, she's the Good Vibe Coach. She has several, every time she thinks of a URL, she buys it. She's got Good Vibe Coach, Good Vibe University, Good Vibe Blog. I'm sure there's some more that I'm not thinking of off the top of my head. But again, what she's doing is very smart, and I don't even know if she considered it at the beginning, but it, search engine-wise, if you put in Good Vibe, she's all over the place. She's coming up because she owns all those URLs, and all of those properties are she's talking about Good Vibe all the time. So she's an LOA coach. It's perfect. She's getting her name out there. So definitely think about the URLs, but if everything you think of is taken, as it was in my case, start with your name. It's a great place to go. Next, you need to choose a platform for your website. Again, some of the domain registrars will host a site and they can build it for you, but there's a couple other ones that I've listed in the resources as well. WordPress, Weebly, Squarespace, and again, this is not a complete list. And I think I also included an article on those as well, as far as best website builders. I build websites in WordPress, and the reason that I like that is it started off as a blog platform, and it's basically a content management system. And what that means is it created a system where you can then go in and change the content yourself. In the old days of building websites, and some people still do this, you had to go through your designer and your technical developer to update anything. So if you wanted to change your prices or if you just needed to change your phone number, one little thing, you had to go through all these different people. And that can get pretty expensive and time-consuming because you have to wait, you know, to get their availability. With WordPress, I can go in and make changes and do regularly. And it's just, it's easy for me because I think and it's a lot of people find it very user-friendly. They walk you through quite a bit, and there's a lot of reference material online to help you set that up. And then you can go in and change the content. You can update things as you refine your message, as you refine your audience, or as you add more certifications or more classwork, you can add all that in. Then you want to think about the basics, right? Again, with your about page, think about your who, what. I would say, and you can start your home page can be your about page, or you can have a home page where you kind of welcome people in. And think about, I think of a website very similar to a house. So if you think about, like, how would you welcome someone into your home? And usually you welcome them in, there's kind of like an entryway, right? So that's kind of your home page. And you want to set a certain tone for it. And I think that the tone is really important. So think about how do you want people to feel? And what kind of characteristics does your brand convey? So it could be that you are very bold and unapologetic. I think Danielle Laporte's kind of like that. She's just out there, right? Another person might be all about peace and helping people find a zen space, right? So that would be a totally different feel and tone to it. Another person might be really sassy and funny. And by all means, if you could pull it off, then do that. Like, whatever your personality is and how you want to make people feel, I would consider that. So then with your basics too, and I, after I put together this handout, I thought of a couple more things. So if you need help writing your about page, I think Alexandra Franzen is excellent, and she's written several blog posts about this. Again, her name is Alexandra Franzen, F-R-A-N-Z-E-N, and you can Google her. She's got a great blog. She talks about writing and helps people with writing. And she's got a couple posts on how to create a good bio or how to create an about page, and it makes it pretty easy. She even gives you like a template of things to fill in for your about page. But basically on that about page, you want to tell people who you are, how you got to where you are, right? So it could be your story that we all love to tell of like, how did you get here to LCT, right? How did you find Martha Beck and what were you doing before? And start to tell that story. And then I think also in your about page, you want to talk a little bit about why you do what you do, right? Who you're helping, but why you do it. And any other background as far as certifications or education or different things that you've been a part of. You also want to make sure that you've got on your website very clearly how to contact you. That could be a contact form on your site where people fill in, or it could just be as simple as a phone number or an email. But make sure that it's very clear for people who want more information to have a way to contact you. And then it's pretty common for those of us in the coaching profession to have some kind of a services page or ways to work with me, or here's what I'm offering. So you want to tell people who you are, give them a way to contact you, and then tell them exactly how they can work with you. And then next, it's really important to have calls to action. So this goes back to what Lisa was talking about with conversion. You need to think about how do you drive people to different pages in your site. And the thing is, there's more than one way, right? Because if I've seen website testing before and usability testing, and people don't go to the same thing. Different people go to different things. So consider that when you're building it, that you want to have multiple ways for people to get to the content. So for example, on the home page, you might have your navigation, which is one way for people to go through to the different pages. But you can also have little areas of what I call a call out. It could be an image or it could be content that describes a different thing, one of your services or one of your classes or a little bit more about you. And it links them to those same pages, often the navigation is, but it just gives them a different way to look at it and a different way to find it. You can also create those on the side. WordPress calls them widgets. And those can show up no matter what page you're on. And then you also want to think about it contextually through the copy. So as you're writing things, and you can write, a little bit like, for example, on your homepage, here's who I am, here's what I do, and here's more about me. And about me would be a link to your about page. So create links within the copy to the other pages on the site as well. And those are all good ways to kind of get people to different places. Some common calls to action are schedule a sample session, sign up for a class, sign up for my e-newsletter, or it could be just contact me. And then also, again, thinking about the different pages, where do you want to drive people to? And then also I think it's so important to create ways for people to follow you. It takes people a long time sometimes to hire a coach. They have to think about it. They have to kind of want to test the waters. They want to read what you're doing. They may come back and forth to your website several times. So if you can give them a way to follow you that's easy, that kind of gives you a way to keep communicating with them. That could be through an e-newsletter. It could be through following your blog. It could be through following you on Facebook or following you on Twitter. or even on Instagram or Pinterest, right? It's just anything that you can create where people can just start to notice what you're doing and kind of take you for a test drive. Because I've found that, people will follow me sometimes for a while before actually reaching out and saying, okay, I'm ready for coaching. So that, gives them a way to kind of test the waters, as it will. Couple things on the design of a site. I think, again, with, WordPress, there are a lot of free templates that you can start with, so it doesn't have to be a huge, big thing. I started off with one of their free templates 4 years ago, and then I started customizing the template, and then I chose a different template, and now, like 4 years later, they've got so many more templates that are free. I'm just using the free ones, guys. You don't have to pay a lot of money to do it at the beginning. And you can customize them quite a bit. You can add your own images. You can add your logo. I use two different sites, and these, again, I forgot to put in the resources because I thought of them after I had to put the handout up. But there's two sites that I use to kind of manipulate my images. One is PicMonkey, PicMonkey.com, and another one is Canva, CANVA.com. And there are free online services where you can go on in and change your the size of your image. You can crop it. You can add words to it, add different shading or whatever. And Canva also has some images that you can purchase if you're looking for a particular image of a giraffe. They probably have a giraffe, and they only charge you like a dollar per use. And a use would be like your whole website. So I think it's very reasonable, and they're pretty easy to use. So let's see what. Then I'm going to talk about search engine optimization a little bit more next. Does anybody have any questions on the website stuff? Are you all busy writing your website copy?
I had a question about where you said about on every page have a way for them to link back to either follow you or find out about your services or purchase from you. Am I correct in assuming that the more of those kind of links you add in, the greater the cost of the website?
No, you're incorrect.
So oh, good.
yes, that is not a problem. So with WordPress, you can host it there for free. I do pay for a couple things. I pay for no ads on my site, which is something like $30 a year. And I pay for, when I set up my site on WordPress, they give you the URL of mine is emilydownward.wordpress.com. And I just wanted to say emilydownward.com. So that's another, I don't know, between like $30 and $40 a year for it to redirect. So when you type in emilydownward.com, that's what shows up in the top of the browser. Because that, to me, just seems more professional than having the WordPress thing in there. So I pay for those. Everything else, I'm not paying for. I can put as many pictures as I want. I can put as many links as I want. That part's not a factor in the cost at all.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Sure. And I would say, just because when you mentioned that, I thought, uh-oh, you don't want to have, like, a page with 50 links to something else. But, like, think about it very carefully of, like, okay, if I were here, and think about when you go to websites, right? If you read another coach's site that you're thinking about hiring, what else do you want to know about them? Do you want to read about their testimonials? Do you want to read about their services? Do you want to read more about their story? You know, so think, put yourself in the mind of someone who's your ideal client, and what would they logically want to go to next? But just giving a couple different options because, you know, we don't all go through things the same way. But I think that can help. But you definitely don't have to have links to everything on every page. That would be a little overwhelming.
Definitely. I'm just because I tried to, I'm pretty tech savvy, and I tried to teach WordPress to myself, and just with everything else I'm having to do right now, it felt overwhelming. So I've been interviewing different people about helping me build a site, and was thinking, you know, I need to keep it fairly simple to keep it within the
the budget that I have. But if this isn't terribly complicated, maybe then I can ask for more than I thought.
Well, you know, I would actually kind of flip it, right? So tell them what your budget is, and tell them what you want, and prioritize. Because if they're charging you by the hour for how many things, then there is a point at which it will cost you more if you're charging somebody or hiring somebody else to do it, right? But if you tell them, okay, here's my budget. My budget is, I'm just going to use like $800, and these are all the things I want. And then they can tell you whether they can get it all done, or they could say, you know, we got to prioritize because I can't get it all done in that time. But links are pretty easy. Yeah, so I wouldn't worry too much about that. I would think big picture first. Think of everything you want and put it all in there and see what they say.
Do you have any recommendations on ways to find people that are good at what they do, but at making websites for a decent price, a low budget?
Yes, and I actually do some, so that's why I was giggling, because I was like, let's talk afterwards, but I know that there are some other, actually there's other coaches in our tribe as well that do websites. I can think of at least 3 or 4 of us. So I'm happy to share their names, and you can start with that.
But thank you.
Just email me afterwards. My email's at the bottom of the handout.
Okay.
Then I'll send you everybody's names.
Thank you.
Okay, sure. Any other questions now on websites, or we'll start talking more about search engine optimization?
This is Lynn, just an observation. When I was putting my website together, and I lucked out, I found somebody who likes to do them for fun, so she didn't charge me a lot. But I went to logogarden.com, and that was a really inexpensive way to get a logo.
Oh, great.
And I was even able to do it, and I'm not tech savvy. not in the least. This whole thing scares me. I keep hoping it will go away, but it doesn't.
No, it's not going away.
So logogarden.com was super easy to use and not expensive at all.
Great. And that reminds me. Thank you for sharing that. That reminds me, another friend of mine went to Fiverr, which is Fiverr.com. And on Fiverr, you can find people who will do all sorts of different things for $5. So you could actually buy several people to do a logo, right? Hire several at $5 and see what you get. And then I've had, I haven't hired them to do a logo, but I've hired different people on Fiverr to do different things and been very pleased with it. So there's another cheap place that you can start from. Any other questions or comments at this point?
Yeah, I have a question. Do you have any rules of thumb about how often you send stuff to people that sign up for a list? So, often enough that they stay interested, but not so often that you turn them off and they get annoyed?
Right. I think it's different for different people. And you can probably, notice who's, I don't know who you've signed up for, but I've signed up and then unsubscribed from so many different coaches lists, as an example, but not even just coaches, but other people as well. All of us get a ton of email nowadays, right? I mean, with all the promotional stuff that you're getting, and I mean, I'm still on Nordstrom's list, even though I don't read half their stuff, I just delete it. But occasionally I'll see something and open it and, you know, get a good deal. So I still stay on it. But there's others that feel icky to me and I unsubscribe. Or I'm just like, I'm tired of deleting it after a while. I'm not getting anything from it, so I unsubscribe. So think about that. Think about what your experience has been. And then I think also in combination with the frequency is the quality. Are you getting something from it? Or is it somebody that's just always asking you for money, right? So, again, if you think about somebody coming to your house, if they're coming, let's say they're coming over for dinner, a friend is coming for dinner, And when you walk, when they walk in the door, do you say, hey, do you want to help me with cooking? Do you want to help me clean the dishes while I'm cooking? You know, it's not something you do usually, I hope. It's more like you welcome them in. You're like, oh, hey, I've got some appetizers. Would you like something to drink? You know, and you kind of give them something first, right, to make them feel welcome. I think it's the same in digital marketing. So you want to give somebody something of value, whether that can be content, that can be some kind of a freebie, but giving of yourself and giving your expertise and sharing your knowledge and then asking for something from them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's different rules of thumb on the frequency. I think the consistency of keeping in touch with people is important. The frequency is more of it's kind of one of those things that you test and you see. Test something out, push it out a few times, see if it was, you know, if you pushed it out enough, you'll know because you've got people to sign up for whatever it is. If you didn't push it out enough, you won't get people to sign up or that could be that the offering wasn't something that people were interested in. Or if you push it out too much, you're going to get a lot of unsubscribes. And just take it as feedback, right? It's just like Martha says, like you're getting hotter, you're getting colder. So like, okay, good to know. That was too much. And try not to take it as like this disaster of like, oh my gosh, people unsubscribed, right? It's just like, okay. That's how I look at it anyway.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Thanks.
Okay, good. All right, so we've got about a half an hour left, and I still have a few things to go. So search engine optimization. I wanted to talk a little bit more about that because I do think it's very important. As I mentioned, Google changes its search algorithm all the time. I found that they change it about 500 to 600 times a year. So if anyone tells you that they've got it all figured out, no. It changes all the time. But there are some basic things that you can do. One is the keywords, and we've been talking a lot about keywords throughout the class. It's about frequency, how often you use those, and the density, so how often within the copy. Now, when search engines first started, there were people who tried to game the system, and they would create white text on a white background and put in just a whole bunch of keywords. That doesn't work. The search engines have gotten smarter, so you really can't game it. And so with keywords, I think, you know, just be reasonable. Keep them in mind when you're writing things, but don't try to overstuff them into your copy. You still want it to sound like someone talking, right? You don't want it to sound like jargony. Also think about inbound and outbound links. So that helps increase your site. I often have links out to Martha's site. If I'm, of course, where I'm talking about my certification, I have a link to her site. When I'm blogging about a certain tool of hers, I will link to her site. Her site, as a master coach, I'm also linked from her site, so that counts as an inbound link. And then anyone that you might guest blog for or get interviewed by, those have them linked back to your site. And your social media accounts count as well. So if you've got a LinkedIn page or Twitter or Facebook or Pinterest, make sure you include your website URL because those all link back to your site and it increases your site's rating. Those keywords are also very important, not just in the copy, but also in the headers of your pages, subheads, and in link text. It's just kind of like bad practice to put a link that says click here. So please, you guys, don't use click here. You're wasting an opportunity to put a keyword there. It would be better to say, you know, use a verb like, here's more about me. Like about me could be that. Or you could say, learn more, you know, and the learn more is the link rather than don't use click here. But if you can put keywords in those, so it might be like learn more about burnout, because I talk about burnout. Burnout would be the link, not the learn more. That would be even better. And using those keywords in any kind of header or like the blog title or subheaders within your copy, that all helps. Alt tags are used by readers. So people who are visually impaired have readers that read through a website. And the alt tag describes any image. And those are a great place to also add keywords. And even the name of the image. So if you've got an image on your site and something you've taken on your camera is just called image 8254, rather than uploading that to your site, name it with whatever you want to tag it with. So mine would say Emily Downward Life Coach Burnout.jpg. And that's a long title for that image, but the only people who are seeing it are those readers, the automatic readers, and the search engines. And it's a great way to get your keywords in there. And then also the frequency of content, how often it's updated. And I'm not talking about redoing your whole site. I'm talking about, do you have something on your site where content is often updated, like a Twitter feed or a blog? Search engines like that. They can tell then that it's a live and active site. And so they're more likely to rate it higher rather than if it's just a site you've created and walked away from. Any questions on that?
Emily?
Oh, yeah.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm thrilled to hear you say what you just said. I am one of those legally blind folks who uses a screen reader, and now you've just given me another enticement to get people to actually use alt tags, because then they can use links and get more business. That's lovely. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, and thank you for sharing that. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about social media. There are a lot of different social media properties. And I know some of you, even at the beginning, before I even started talking, said you were overwhelmed. So again, I'm not going to share all this to overwhelm you. Think about just like where you can start one step. You don't have to do all of this at once. I just wanted to provide kind of an overview of the different properties and how you can use them to engage with your audience. So Facebook, I think, is really good for engaging with people. You can ask questions, start conversations, make sure that you're replying to comments when people do comment on your stuff, and keep that dialogue going. It is a best practice to create a business page rather than having your own personal page. However, you don't have to. I think the benefits of having a business page are that you do have a larger audience capability. Actually, Susan Hyatt got to a limit on her personal page because she was using her personal page for a long time, and Facebook capped her. I can't remember what the number was, but there was a certain number of where you can't have more friends. So she had to create a business page. So you can create a business page because you can have more capability for your audience. But it also helps to keep your potential clients separate from your personal stuff. So again, some people want to kind of, you know, they want to follow you anonymously for a while. They may not friend you on Facebook because then you can see all their stuff too. They may just want to kind of follow and see what you're doing before they commit to engaging with you. So a business page gives them a little bit more anonymity. Thank you. Sorry about that. You can also leverage Facebook ads. You can it's an easy way to test it out because you can set the budget very low and test different things, test different copy and different images, and you can push them to either your Facebook business page or push them to a website. Now, just after I created this handout, a friend shared a blog post which is titled 7 Ways to Be Insufferable on Facebook. And it's a hilarious blog post. I'm willing to share it with anybody who wants to read it. But if you Google 7 Ways to Be Insufferable on Facebook, I'm sure you'll find it. And it talks about that you want to be interesting and informative or entertaining, but not attention-craving, narcissistic, trying to be jealousy-inducing. And when I first read it, it's talking about personal use, but I started thinking about how we use Facebook for business too. And I've seen different coaches do it, and like we post about something and we're like, my life is so great. I'm so glad I'm a life coach. So it's just like, that could kind of be in his this guy's blog post about attention craving or jealousy inducing. So we want to definitely talk about the value of coaching and the difference it's made in our lives and in our clients' lives. But just be careful that you're doing it in a way that is giving somebody something of value or informative or entertaining, but not the, oh, look how great my life is because I'm a coach and I have it all together. Because we all have it all together, right? Ha, ha, ha. Just kidding.
Right.
Okay. I don't know about you, but I don't. So that's a little bit about Facebook. Twitter is a short messaging platform. So you can only use 140 characters in each message or tweet, and that includes spaces and punctuation. I think it's best used when you join in conversations and discussions. And I think Pam Slim does a great job of this. She uses Twitter quite a bit for networking and keeping in touch with people and joining in discussions and leading discussions. So if you need an example of how to do it well, I think she's a great one to do. Hashtags were created to organize the content on Twitter around topics. Because unlike a forum, which came before, where you'd have a discussion topic and everybody would post on Twitter it's kind of like a bulletin board where everybody's putting post-it notes just all over the place. So hashtags give a way to kind of organize it around those keywords. Now, people have gotten kind of crazy on the hashtags, and there was even a Saturday Night Live skit with Justin Timberlake that was hilarious about hashtags. So don't go crazy. I think it's kind of like with search engine optimization. You want to use the keywords, but don't overdo it, right? Like, not every word should be a hashtag. You can find the trending hashtags of the topics of the day on Twitter's homepage, and it can be a great way to jump into a conversation. But again, I would say, you know, if it's relevant to what you're talking about, then do that. Another thing that I thought of that's not in my handout, but you might want to check out, is Hootsuite. It's HootSuite. And Hootsuite is a great site that enables you to schedule your tweets for Twitter or your updates for Facebook. So you could put in a bunch of things ahead of time, and then that naturally just rolls them out. So if you're going on vacation or if you just want to front load a bunch of content, that's a good service to use. However, I will say from my days in PR, you want to make sure if something really big happens, like a global tragedy, that you're not pushing out sales promotions. So go in there and cancel any scheduled things if something big happens, because we had some clients get kind of some bad PR for doing things like that. So just make sure if something happens, don't forget to turn that off. LinkedIn is great for any kind of professional networking. I think it's a great place also to share your expertise in content. And my colleague, Andrea Ballard, did a great CoachSpot call on using LinkedIn. So I invite you to look on the CoachSpot archives and check out that call. And then for images, Pinterest or Instagram are a great place to kind of share how you're viewing the world. And you can put, again, you can put content and images within the image, but don't forget the descriptions on those are a great place to add keywords as well. And you can even create in your description often, you can put a link to your website in there. So keep in mind just your kind of your marketing hat whenever you're doing any of those and how you can drive people back to your properties. And then for video, YouTube and Vimeo are the two top video content. And again, with the descriptions, use your keywords in the description of what the video is about. So then I want to talk about a little bit about newsletters. I think it's really key to give people a way to opt into you. And it doesn't have to be a newsletter, but that is one of the ways you can do it. If you're already on Twitter or Facebook and that's where you do most of your updating, you can have them follow you there. I like newsletters because I think it's just a nice way to keep in contact with my audience, and it gives me a place to kind of push out my blog content, and I enjoy blogging pretty regularly. So in the resource section, you'll notice that there's a couple different providers. for e-newsletters. There's MailChimp, Constant Contact, and AWeber. I believe MailChimp is the only one of those that has kind of a free service, and then they have paid service for a certain level. I think Constant Contact and AWeber are paid services from the get-go, but I'm not 100% sure. I use MailChimp. Best practices on these is consistency. You don't have to have it every like Tuesday at 12 noon, but just, you know, don't leave people hanging for too long. You don't want to have one where you send one out and then you don't send one out for 6 or 9 months, right? People have kind of forgotten about you by then. So again, think of it like your friends. You know, you want to kind of keep in contact with your friends, right? And you call them on a regular basis. You send them things that you find interesting. The same way, you want to kind of keep inside your clients' minds or your potential clients' minds and share with them something of value. So that's my second best practice. As we talked about earlier, you want to give them something that is not always just about, hey, buy this service from me or here's what I'm offering next. Give them something else that's interesting that they would find helpful. And finally, don't spam. This is really, really one of my hot buttons. If you meet somebody in a coaching class or a training or even out and about and you exchange business cards, it is not okay to then go back and put them on your opt-in list and start sending them marketing things. That's actually against the law. So unless someone signs up for your list or your marketing, you cannot send them stuff. So not only is it against the law, it's just really bad business, and I think it leaves a bad taste. It does for me. It leaves bad taste in people's mouth. So most of these services like MailChimp, Constant Contact, and AWeber have a double opt-in where people opt in and then they get sent an email and it says, did you really want to opt in? And they have to click yes. That is the best way to do it, to keep it all above board. So again, with the newsletter, make sure you're thinking about calls to action, right? So it's great to send them something, but don't forget to have a couple links in there back to your site or your services. So even if you're sending them just something, hey, I found this great article and I thought this was interesting because, at the bottom, make sure you have a link of, you know, a way to contact you at the very least, or a link back to your site. Blogging. I really like blogging. I think it's a great way to share your thoughts, your style, and it also gives you a place to have updated content for search engine optimization. Again, blogging best practice is frequency and consistency. So again, it doesn't have to be necessarily every single, you know, the same day of the week, or there's some people who actually blog every day, very short blogs, but they do. But definitely, you know, keep it up. I think it shows, like right now, coaching site, I've got over 3.5 years of blog posts because I've been blogging now as a coach for a while. So that shows people like there's a lot of content that they could go back and read. It shows them that I'm committed to this area. So I think there's a lot of really great benefits to having a blog. Definitely try to keep it short. You don't want to have huge novels of blog posts because you're going to lose people's attention. So optimal is between 300 and 600 words. If you've got something that's longer than that, think about splitting it into a series of blog posts. So if you've got, you know, something that's like 3 ways to make your job better or something, you could actually have 3 blog posts on that if it's a really long amount of copy. And again, use your keywords, but keep it within reason. I kind of consider my keywords at the beginning before I start writing, and then I consider them at the end, and I think about like where I can possibly tweak the language and put them in, but I don't worry about it too much. That's not my primary goal. It's just kind of a nice to have. And then you definitely want to use the, on any of the blogging platforms, there's a box for keywords as well that you can tag your post. And that would be a great place to put all of those as well. For my blog, every single blog post that I post, I use as a tag my name, Emily Downward. So I do that for a couple of reasons. There is actually, I know it's such a strange name. You would not think that there's another Emily Downward in the U.S., but there is. But I've got her beat. If you Google Emily Downward, my stuff comes up all over the first page. And I've learned that from my days in PR, that we couldn't bury or we couldn't get rid of a bad story, but we could bury it with the good stuff. Not that there's any bad stories about me out there, but, you know, you just want to push out what you want to have out there. So by putting in my name on all of my blog posts, and I've been blogging for 3.5 years with this, that's a lot of content tagged with my name, and it's content that I want out there. So that's another way to help get your name up. Also, don't forget to add links to other sites within blog posts, or to your pages of your offerings. So sometimes I will blog about my story behind why I created a product or an offering, and then I'll link within that blog post to the product page or to the offering page. So just giving people, it's another call to action. It's another way to follow through your site, and it also helps with getting people to where you want them to purchase, right? And then imagery is really important in blog posts as well. You don't want all copy. You can also break up the copy with subheads or bullets or numbered lists. But imagery is a great way to just kind of give people a visual cue of how to look at something a little bit differently. Kind of like in my handout here, I've put in a couple images for you guys so you wouldn't get bored if you just saw the copy. All right. I feel like I've been talking really, really fast for a long time. But we still have about 13 minutes. So what questions do you guys have for me? You're overwhelmed and you're stunned into silence. Oh, no.
Okay, at the risk of sounding like a complete idiot, I'll just go ahead and jump out with my question.
Okay.
Everything you said makes really good sense, and I really appreciate the time and effort you've spent on putting this call together. So nothing about what I'm going to ask has any reflection on you. It's purely on me. But in talking about the newsletters and getting to know MailChimp and blogging, I'm a writer. I actually teach writing, so I don't have any problem writing. But I am finding having to learn all this different technology to be able to write is where I have my stumbling block. So can you suggest a way to turtle step your way through having to start from scratch? I have a very basic website right now that doesn't include a blog, and so where I am is trying to move to the next level where I can include a blog and a newsletter, but that also then means I need to learn WordPress or someone set it up for me and figure out MailChimp or AWeber and all these other things. So can you suggest some turtle steps that will make this less overwhelming?
So you actually just identified some turtle steps for yourself. I don't know if you know.
Okay.
But one of them was, identifying the different properties that you need to learn more about. Then I would say you don't have to do it all yourself, right? You could hire somebody, which you said, but you also could, you may have a coach buddy or somebody that you know that already knows this really well, that you could just say, hey, can we do some trading, right? I'll coach you for an hour and for an hour, can you show me this? So you could always trade for that, or you could hire somebody to teach you how to do it. Or with most of these services, if you just Google how to use WordPress, you're going to find there's videos. People have already created videos. There's how-tos. So there are definitely different ways to do it.
I bought a book that was like 500 pages, and I looked at their online tutorial, and even though I'm fairly tech savvy, it was just like, holy crap.
So, yeah, then if you have the ability to hire somebody, then I would say do that. And have them set it up for you, but then have them teach you, like, how to update it. Because I think a WordPress blog is pretty easy to use once it's set up and you know, like, they can show you exactly where to post, how to post, and then it would be a simple thing of copying and pasting the writing it sounds like you're already doing, into that format.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Does that help?
Yes, thank you.
And just try to like take it one step at a time. You don't have to do all of this at once. I was trying to give you guys a lot of content for this class, but I hope it's not too overwhelming. You can definitely take one piece at a time. You could start. It sounds like you've already started with a website. You've got the writing piece, which a lot of people struggle with. So that's exciting to me that you've already got that. The only thing that you need is just the avenue to push it out. So it's finding different people. There are people that can help you learn those things, whether it's in your current network or hiring somebody to teach you how to do it. And I don't think that would be a huge expense. Or you could outsource it. If you have the ability to completely outsource it, then have somebody else post it for you and send it out in the newsletter. You can do that as well.
Do you have a sense of I'm a fairly new coach and have only a couple of paying clients right now. So do you have a sense of, for generating revenue quickly, which of these methods might be the best way to go with the first turtle step?
So I would say it's going to depend on what you're offering. Because there's one-on-one coaching, I think, it can be challenging to create a lot of income very quickly with just one-on-one coaching. I think if you're offering classes or products or group things or other things as well, that can be another way to kind of gain some revenue, or if you're doing speaking. So it's kind of a bigger question of like all the different things that you're doing and how best to do it. I think with one-on-one coaching, it's my experience that that's kind of a big commitment for somebody, not only monetarily, but also just like the emotional commitment, right? And somebody has to kind of be ready for that step. So giving somebody some other smaller ways sometimes to engage with me has been more helpful. I think if you were only going to do one thing, a website is key, which sounds like you've got. And then it's promoting your website, which is, we've been talking today about online promotion, but a lot of this is great with just getting out there and talking to people too, right? I mean, you don't want to just sit behind your computer and not engage with people on a regular basis. I think so many of us, you can get into a bad habit of doing that, but it's so much more effective to actually talk to people and share your passion and share your energy in person as well. So networking, whether you do that online or offline, I think is really key.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome. What other questions do you guys have? Okay. Well, I wanted to say that I think the digital space is a really great place for testing things out and exploring. And as I mentioned before, it's a great place to put something out there, and then if it doesn't work, you can change it pretty easily. You know, you can change your messaging, you can change your colors, you can change your logo. So I think for me, this is a fun place. It's a fun puzzle to play with. And I think if you come to it with that and just think about, you know, trying different things, it's a great way to get responses on things too, because you can see very clearly what's working and what's not working. You can look at what people are clicking on and commenting on and liking and what they're not. So it gives you some very direct feedback very quickly. And just even take this one step at a time. It doesn't have to be like this huge, you don't have to have all of these properties at the same time. You can definitely start one step at a time. So start with wherever you are and create some kind of a space for people to learn more about you and to really get a sense of your personal brand, your style, as if they were coming into your home, what would you want them to experience and how do you want them to feel? And just share yourself with them. I think a lot of marketing can get kind of icky, and we all are kind of repelled by that kind of icky marketing. But it doesn't have to be that way. I think it can be much more about sharing who you are, sharing your story, and also sharing with people your offerings. But we do a lot of incredible, good work in the world, and people need that. And so if you share it with that intention, I don't think it's going to be icky. I think it's going to be a really positive thing for people. And it's important that you tell people what you do so that you can continue to help them and put your messages out in the world. So, again, in the handout, my email is there at the bottom. And if you guys have additional questions or if I didn't completely answer your question, you know, shoot me an email, and I'd be happy to chat more with you about it or answer any questions you might have. If anybody has any final questions, we still have about 5 minutes.
Emily, this was excellent. Thank you so much.
You. Yes, it was. It was great.
Thanks for answering a lot of them. That's why
oh, good.
Me.
Good. I'm so glad. I was afraid I overwhelmed you and stunned you into silence. So thank you.
The opposite, at least, speaking for myself.
Oh, good. I'm glad it was helpful. I hope you guys have a great day.
Thank you, Emily. This has been great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.